So let me explain you this one by one. So we are learning primarily the Workiting marketing system. So firm attempts to develop and manage this integrated distribution. We have seen earlier traditional and the new age system, which is a vertical system. So there are types of it. The corporate VMS, which involves vertically integrated system, mainly controlled and driven by the corporates. Now, contractual VMS is each party enters into a contractual agreement where they list out the rights of each and obligations of each member to deliver that customer experience. Then you have an administrative VMS in which one of the firm uses its economic position or an expertise to provide inducement for the cooperation from the other member, because they have that knowledge, they have that power, they have that solution mindset, capabilities, etc. So they take the cooperation from the other member. Other member also, they have to rely on them for their goods to move. A relational VMS here, where cooperation between two or more channel partner is based on the norms of a mutual trust. They know that each one is dependent on the other, and they get into what you call a relational VMS. Now we will learn this each separately. So corporate VMS, in this system, firm achieves a cooperation and control through corporate ownership. So they play that role of mota bhai, as you say, you know, big brother. In most cases, this is the result of forward integration by a manufacturer of the function at the wholesale and perhaps even in the retail level. Backward integration. So they, because of their competency, either the knowledge, the product class that they manufacture, etc., they are in a position to have an integration commanded from the wholesaler or the retailer or the both. So this is the term backward integration occurs when a retailer or a wholesaler assumes the ownership. So earlier, from a manufacturer to wholesaler to retailer, what you call a forward integration. But in the vertical marketing system, many times backward integration also is possible. Here, either when a retailer or the wholesaler assumes the ownership of this vertical marketing system, so then it becomes a backward integration of a distribution. Contractual, in this system, independent firms, they remain the independent. They know that they are creating a value by coming together, but they come together contractually. They know that unless they do not deliver the required experience, they will not be able to sustain long term. So different levels of production and distribution coordinates their program through contract. Contract definitely means a legal binding that spells out rights and duties of each and obligation of each. Intent is to obtain greater economies and the market impact. So you do this because each one is a capability to operate exclusively, excellently, so that will give you the market coverage and create a value impact in the market. Contractual VMS have had the greatest growth story. They are today's greatest growth story, a developing component, kind of a vertical marketing system which is most talked about. Administered VMS, firms using this system coordinate the necessary activities at the successive stages of distribution through an informal guidance and influence one and the other partner. So they are only administering, and it is an informal setup. The administration or the administrator is typically the manufacturer, who, because of the power and their reach to all the intermediaries, generally assume that role. But in some cases, the role is also performed by large retailer or a large wholesaler like a Tesco or Walmart. Now they become an administrator, okay, so of the entire distribution, and then they add value. So that's an administered VMS. Relational VMS. Relational VMS also rely on economic rewards. Each one looks at benefit out of this association, and often contractual agreement as well. There may be formal contractual agreement, but it is more driven by the relationship to specify what expected of the each channel partner. Contract is made to generally clarify so that there is a clear distinct line of responsibility is known. However, relational VMS, what is expected of each partner may change by mutual agreement as market is constantly evolving. If the the relational VMS is more flexible, more agile, because you can adapt to changing market conditions very quickly by coming at a mutual agreement. So that's the power of relational VMS. The economic incentive depends more on the long-term market success of the entire system than on the power and leverage of the strongest member. So here the relationship, this thing will work well when you have a very long-term perspective, you have a very long-term relationship built over a period. Therefore, it is not looking at a short-term perspective, either the power or the strength that the strongest member have as in the market or as a or more in terms of monetary power. It's not dependent on that. So to get a better understanding of vertical marketing system, the open sharing of the internal operative data and innovative ideas for improving the efficiency and sell performance requires substantial mutual trust and long-term commitment. So this vertical marketing system has its own principles. Here each one have to be transparent, each one have to be efficient, and therefore it is a performance driven, and that requires mutual trust and long-term commitment. Then you see the result. Trust tends to build slowly, and a trust development is not easy. Thus, the partners in a relational system of VMS must typically have some history of satisfying such experiences with one another. So there is to be a foundation to that, which is a starting point of relationship VMS. So that's what this particular point. Then only the trust will sustain, trust will manifest into success, and both will benefit. So now we come into a new section, which is using marketing channel to create value for customers. How your channel can create value? We have seen earlier the VMS is formed to add that element of customer experience on the customer end by the outside in organization, which was not required by inside out organization. So they use conventional method. So that itself is an indication that the value, you know, can be created using your intermediary. So what is this? Using marketing channel to create. When choosing a distribution strategy, whatever strategy that you want to have, the what is required, marketeers must determine what value a channel member adds to the firm's product. So whether it is a technical information sharing, whether it is a servicing, whether it is a expertise at the installation stage, etc. Customer accesses a product's value by looking at many factors. Customers will look at various things before giving an order. Okay, now when he is reviewing overall, he is not only reviewing your cost, he also reviews how are you going to add value. So who is providing better value, and then he will decide. Several surrounding features can be directly influenced by channel members, such as customer service, delivery and availability. So that is what is your intermediary can play a very powerful role. These are word uses a surrounding features. So cost may be the main driver in B2B especially, but there are various other factors which may tilt decision in your favor. So that is what is like a service quality, the promptness, the delivery and effectiveness and efficiency and your availability in time. So we get into understanding this also better. For the marketeers, selecting a channel partner involves a value analysis. So to see that how you create value, you have to do the value analysis. You know, value analysis in the same way that the customers makes a purchase decision. Customers also does a value analysis. So here you do the value analysis vis-a-vis your distribution system. So there's a framework there. We try to understand that. This is determinants of customer added value. So customer looks at what all before deciding whether you really offer value. He first of all looks at whether your product offers any value, whether your service, you are offering only product or product plus service. Personnel, how good, competent, knowledgeable your people are. What is the image that you have created in the market, so that that image will also boost their confidence in you. Price, of course, is a factor because price is related to the value that you offer. Then the time cost, what it takes as a time to deal with you. Okay. Energy cost, how easy or effortless versus how much effort they need to put behind you. And psychic cost, and in the sense, is it worth it? You know, that's a question every time that comes. So whether it is worthwhile to be with you. And then there are many other fear of using a product, etc., are also there. Now, first four, product, service, personal and image, is a total customer value. Total customer value. This is what customer gets it. While monetary, time cost, energy and psyche is a cost to the customer. Customer invest time, money, energy and psychic resolutions. So that's a cost to the customer. So difference of that is a delivered value. So if your total value is better than what customer feels that he's incurring, he feels that you're delivering a value to him. So that's a framework that we understood. So today, marketing channel decisions are as important as customers have become more demanding. They are more moving brand to brand, place to place, in terms of vendor to vendor for satisfying the same need. So in that era, the channel management is very crucial. They are used to getting what they want, from where they want, when they want. If you can't get your product to them when, where and how they want, then simply buy a competing product, they will go and buy the available other product or a substitute. In other words, how companies sell become an important as that how companies sell is also as important than actual selling the product. So that's what, how are you going to then deliver, that also is very crucial. So we are just understanding the concept of creating and adding value using your channel. Further into that, many other products and services pass through multiple organizations before they get to you. These organizations are called intermediaries. So often we are discussing the same. First, the distribution is known as an intermediary. Companies partner with intermediaries, not because they necessarily want to, but because intermediaries can help them sell the product better than what they themselves can do. Why this is possible? They have some sort of capabilities. They have some sort of capabilities in that area. The producer actually needs that capability to sell in that area. Contacts they have, okay? They know many customers one-to-one, okay? So that's what another thing that they bring. Or the right customer base, they are sitting amidst, like the, you have a network guy sitting amidst a Wagle industrial estate or some industrial estate. So now, he has a contact, he has a reach, he has a required networking with the people around. Marketing expertise, he may be good in marketing. He has a team who is making cold calling to qualifying the lead, etc. Shipping and handling capabilities, installation and engineering capabilities, or a post-sale service capabilities, various things which a producer wants to utilize. So now we understand how marketing can create value using channel. So having understood that, we move to the next section called types of channel partner. Now that will give you some perspective about variations that is possible. The basic type of channel partners are wholesaler and retailer. Very simple system, manufacturer, wholesaler, retailer. In recent years, however, between wholesaler, retailer and the producers have begun to blur considerably. So what is happening, the lines between them are getting blurred, means each one is getting merged somewhere with some other this thing, or their roles and responsibilities are started getting in sync, you know, they are overlapping with each other. Companies must decide how they will distribute their product. Will they sell directly to customer, that is online, e-commerce as you say, or will they sell through intermediaries? Okay, who can help them in the local market because of their strength? Okay, so that's what company has to decide. What you see is a very simple graphical infographic. We have discussed this, so not that I need to spend too much of a time. Products are directly selling, so direct to consumer, selling through retailer and then selling through other wholesaler. So these are the ways, behavioral distribution channels that one must understand. So see, the distribution today is becoming more dynamic, as there is an example. Original only manufacturer like Apple, Microsoft is now having their own store. Apple has done it the way before they did, and today even say mobile phone manufacturers, they have their also exclusive stores. So that is a need of an hour to cater to certain specific segment of the society or the target market. Similarly, many producers who were earlier actually producing goods, but now they saw the opportunity differently. They have passed on the manufacturing, or they have outsourced the manufacturing to somebody else, where the cost of manufacturing is economical due to the scale at which that producer is going to operate. So they then become a wholesaler. Okay, they take the complete supply and then they supply to the market as per their probably original earlier network of distributor. So things are changing, everyone takes an opportunity and exploits it. So to understand, we will get a certain salient aspects of different types of channel partner understood. Wholesaler, that is first one in the system. Wholesaler obtains large quantity, they order really a large quantity, their store responsibility is the goods transfer gets transferred in their name, they become a owner, therefore they store them, they many times break them down into smaller units so that the retailer can afford to have them. They are also therefore known as a break bulk, you know, the supplier. Wholesaler get their name from the fact that they resell the goods whole to the other companies without transforming the goods. So they don't do any processing on the goods. It's only that the packaging which is say available, your packaging from the manufacturers of a set of 100, they may give 20 to any retailer wanted, and they will not say that I will also supply only 100, but they will not alter the product at all. And if you are trying to stock it a small electronic store, you probably don't want to purchase a truckload of iPads. And so that's what the wholesaler plays a role of providing only required quantity to the retail market. Merchant wholesalers, so how they are different? Merchant wholesaler are the wholesalers that take the title to the goods. In the earlier one, I said that, but they are classified those who actually own the goods. And the goods ownership transfer to the particular wholesaler, then he is known as a merchant. They are also sometimes referred to as therefore distributor dealers. So, like for example, in automobile industry, we call this authorized distributor because goods are invoiced to them, and when goods reaches the premise of the distributor, it becomes it's their risk. Okay, so they are merchant wholesaler. The category includes both full service wholesaler and limited service wholesaler. So full service merchant wholesaler, they will do everything, you know, though the list is out given here, but they will do complete thing from getting the goods, storing to supplying it to the retailer, while the limited service wholesalers offer limited services. Okay. And that also is possible because therefore they are able to provide an economical rate also. So limited service wholesaler offer fewer services to their customers but lower price also. So that's the outcome of it. They might not offer delivery services, extend their customer credit, have sales force, etc. They generally will just probably be act as a intermediary. Dropshippers, the another classification under the merchant wholesaler, they are known as dropshippers, are another type of limited service wholesaler. They are known as a dropshipper because they take, shippers take title to the goods. They take the title of the goods. They come under the merchant wholesaler. So, the title of the goods is there. However, they don't actually take possession of the goods. They will just play that intermediary role. This is for that large goods actually, which though the title is on them, but generally the understanding is manufacturer will supply directly to the party who has ordered it. So that's a dropshipper. Coming to the broker or agent, as the case may be, they don't purchase product or they sell the product. Their role is limited to negotiating and completing the sales contract, and then they inform the manufacturer whose agent they are to sell, ship the goods, and that manufacturer will sell it to the seller directly. Clothing, furniture, food, commodities, some of this are, you know, often sold by the broker or the agent in between. They are generally paid a commission for the turnover that they achieve, sale, and they are assigned to different geographical territories. Therefore, they are large in number. Okay, for each territory that the agent can showcase to the manufacturer that he has a better reach, depth, penetration, then he gets that role. A manufacturer sales office. Another one is the manufacturer themselves can have the branch or the sales office acting as a sales unit. Okay, that directly works for the manufacturer. They are the type of a factory outlet store. So there may be many CUC, the factory outlet store that is written exclusively. So they are owned and run by the company. They sell product to stores and sometimes to consumers, often at a discount. So because they remove that intermediary in between, they have a cost economy available which they pass it on to customer many times. Retailers buy products from wholesaler, so that's a typical chain, agents or distributor, and then they sell them to the consumer. So retailer will obtain it from the wholesaler or the sole selling agent or as the case may be, and they sell it to the final end consumer. Retailer vary by the type, okay, that they sell. They may be a retailer to various product category. So it is not that he will only be the electrical switch guy. He may be the electrical goods retailer. So he will have switch gears, he will have switches, he will have many other things, you know. They charge prices based on price that is decided vis-a-vis the manufacturer, or there is a rule, MRP, maximum retail price, there is a legal restrictions, okay. However, if there is a service addition to that, then that retailer gets a chance to add the service quotient and charge consumers accordingly. So that's another way. Supermarkets or a grocery stores, they call themselves either supermarket, are self-service outlets where their goods are lined up in a manner logically. Consumer has to go, select, put in a cart, come to the retail cash counter, pay it and move out. Okay, so it's a full range of product for the specific things that they are specializing for is available for the consumers to take. Drugstore, who supply pharmaceutical products, they are eligible to supply allowed over-the-counter medicines. They are not supposed to supply any medicine which cannot be sold. So there is a regulation which declare that. Okay, so these are the goods that they can sell over the counter. Convenience stores are miniature supermarkets. Many of them sell gasoline and are often 24 hours a day, etc. By the name virtue of it, they tend to keep limited fast moving item in that area. So the people doesn't have to go much far, and they have a tie up with respective wholesaler or another retailer in the area. So they keep getting their supply. So they act as a more a convenience store. These are varied nature that we have understood. Speciality store, that's also a term. They sell a certain type of product only. They are specialist in say kitchenware or glassware, but they usually carry a deep line. So then they will have complete range under that, which sells jewelry and Hefal, which sells an array of kitchen and cooking related products. So those are examples of specialty stores. So Tanishq is for the jewelry, Hefal is for the kitchen, range, etc. Department stores, that is also a very concept, once upon a time very popular. By contrast, carry a wide variety of household and personal types of merchandise such as clothing, jewelry. Many have the chain departmental stores, okay. They will have number of stores within same city or across different cities in the country, etc. Superstores and malls are oversized department stores that they carry a broad array of general merchandise as well as groceries or branded products or private labels. Examples like Big Bazaar, DMart, etc., Haiku, they are known as superstores, or they are mall in itself. They provide you everything that is available at even other mall. So we are continuing to learn different types of channel partners that one can have. One more is a warehouse clubs or super centers. You know, they sell products at a discount because they deal in bulk. They deal in bulk with the previous line, but when they act as a retailer, they will give it to the customer as they want the quantity. They require people who stock with them to become member by paying an annual fee. So there also warehouse clubs are where they charge you something which is the annual membership fees, but then they offer plethora of support services. So that's a value for money. Off-price retailers are stores that sell a variety of discount merchandise that consist of seconds, okay, overruns and previous season stock. So they are like a known, discount store, off-price store, but people also are aware that, either here seconds are sold or the old non-moving goods are sold or previous season goods are sold in this season, etc. A new type of retail stores that turned up in the last couple of years is the pop-up store. Pop-up stores are the small temporary store. They can be kiosks temporarily occupying unused retail stores. And so generally that digital world is opening various opportunities. So kiosk doesn't require manual other support and all. You have the kiosk installed even in some departmental store, or even in, say, there are large residential complexes where kiosk can be installed. Consumer puts the order, you supply from your point of distribution. So that's a pop-up store. So we are trying to understand different types of channel partners, and we want to know the benefits offered by channel partner. Why company has to rely so much on channel partner? So first is the cost saving due to specialization. They have acquired their specialization by way of their own investment, their own capable people being recruited. They themselves are learned individuals in that field. So engineers will have something to do with the engineering goods related, you know, store. So because he himself being engineer, and then they know engineering solutions that they can offer to various companies seeking such things. So that's a specialization based, including cost saving. Reduce exchange time. So the time to exchange is what, when the need is arising and you meet this and satisfy this thing, that's a lag time. Now that can be reduced if you have a channel partner close by. Customers want to conveniently shop for variety. Today customers want variety, they want convenience as per their expectations and all, which can be facilitated by them. Reseller sells smaller quantities. Reseller will be able to give small quantity to the end consumer. Okay. Create sales. They also promote in their own way locally. That they take out from the margin that you are providing, but they understand local market better. So they themselves create a promotional scheme that will have the goods moved. Offer financial support. So many times they offer a financial support, some credits or some, you know, EMI building, etc. You see many times when you go to say Croma and, you know, such stores, etc., they offer you quick financial support. People from HDFC or other banks are there and your deal is closed quickly, etc. Provide information. They give you a lot of information even during consultation stage. So that's what are the benefit that one can get by having a proper channel partner. Thank you.